Okay. Good morning, children. Who all is glad to be here? Good deal. Okay. Why don't we just have a little prayer here before we start? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Yes, Father, Lord, we just humbly bow before you here, and we thank you for this wonderful opportunity to gather together in your house and just to sing praises to you and to learn more about you, Father, and your word. Father, we just pray that you would be with us here at this little lesson, that you would just bless it and speak through me and help us to be able to learn some valuable lessons to apply to our lives today, Lord. We just commit it all into your hands, and we also pray for the remainder of the service that you would bless it. And we thank you and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. This morning, I am going to talk a little bit about something that doesn't just apply to you guys. It's a big part of our grown-up life as well. So I'm going to read a little story here out of the Bible first. And then we will we'll talk a little bit about it here. So okay, starting in Acts 16, verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God, who will show us unto the way of salvation." And she did this for many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And the Spirit came out that same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers. So Paul and Silas cast out an evil spirit. And the people that were making money off of this girl, they got really angry, and they brought them before the law. And they were going to try to get them to be thrown into prison. They brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. So they took them, and they took like a whip, and they beat them across their backs, I'm assuming. And the jailer, who had received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors were open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. See, he was responsible for all these prisoners. So if they got out, he would get in some very big trouble with the people that were over him, the higher-ups. So he was just going to kill himself because he seen all the doors were open. He thought everybody already ran. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And then he called for a light, and sprang in, came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And they spake unto him in the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his house, straightway. So that's the end of the story. And I was just thinking, just sitting here in my seat this morning, I was thinking, man, I don't know if any of us here have ever been in a situation quite that bad where we got beaten and thrown into prison. It said to cast them into the inner prison, which I'm assuming was the deepest, darkest part of the prison. And I'm sure it wasn't a clean room. I'm sure they didn't take time to clean it, or I'm sure it was dirty and there were probably rats and stuff running around, just something awful. And their feet were bound, and they couldn't move, and there was probably very little hope. I know for myself, in situations like that, it's easy to become very negative when something goes a little bit wrong, and it's not even nearly that bad, but it's easy to become very negative, and it's easy to become grumpy, and the last thing you want to do is to sing and pray and sing praises to the Lord. But that's what they did. They kept on praising God, and God worked a miracle, and he brought a great earthquake to free them from the prison, and ended up saving the guy that kept them in prison. It saved him and his whole family, and they all became Christians. And being joyful is also a way that you children can be servants for God, by remaining joyful no matter what the situation is, and by praising him. It's something that's very important. If someone that's not a Christian sees you children out and about, like if you guys are joyful and you're obedient to your parents and you have a joyful countenance, that speaks loudly, very loudly to other people that we're out around people. It'll maybe help them to want to know more about God. And also, just another way you children can practice this is by remaining joyful when you're at home, just around your parents and your brothers and sisters. I know it's usually pretty easy when you're out with your friends or you're around other people, maybe at church, or when you go somewhere, it's pretty easy to be in a pretty good mood. But then when you're just around home for the week and just your everyday life, it can be easy to become, if you're having a bad day, you know, it could be easy to lose some of that joyful attitude and become a little bit grumpy. And nobody likes to be around that. So just some thoughts here, maybe some examples of some things that might happen to you in your everyday life. Maybe one day if you're not feeling good or something and you feel like maybe mom gave you way too many chores to do today, I don't want to do that all today. So instead of just being your joyful, smiling self, you decide you're going to put on a frown and just be grumpy all day just because you feel like it. And then maybe, once you already decided to be grumpy, your little brother or sister does something that really irritates you, and maybe they spilled something or took something away from you, spilled something on the floor, and now you have to clean it up. And it's a big mess. So now what are you going to do? Because remember, you already chose to be grumpy. You already chose that earlier. So you're probably going to snap at them or say something mean to them or just not be nice to them. So now they're going to feel bad, and they're probably going to snap back at you. Now they're going to become grumpy too, just like you are. And before you know it, all your brothers and sisters, you're all going to be in a bad mood. And nobody even, probably don't even know why. You hardly even know why, but it's because you woke up and you chose to not be joyful. Then once all of you children are in a bad mood and grumpy, it's probably going to make your mom discouraged and put her in a bad mood too. So you can have a really big effect on the people around you and a huge impact just because it can be for a good way, in a good way or a bad way. If you chose to be joyful, maybe everybody would be having a good day by now. So we can choose that every morning when we wake up, whether we're going to be joyful and praise the Lord like Paul and Silas did, or we can choose the wrong way, to be in a bad mood. And then if we do choose the right thing, to be joyful, it's not only going to help us have a good day, but everyone around us. It's going to affect everyone. So I know it's for me just as much as it is for you guys, because I'm ashamed to say there's days that something goes a little bit wrong and it's easy to have a very, very negative attitude. And it's really not worth it, because just by choosing to be negative about something, it just ruins your whole day if you dwell on it, it'll follow you throughout your whole day, and it actually starts making things go worse, is what I've found. So something to keep practicing now when you're young, because it can really help you out when you're older. I wish I would have practiced it more when I was younger, because maybe it wouldn't be such a temptation for me. So if you start now, it'll be a lot easier when you guys get older. And something that doesn't seem like a very big thing, but it is very, very important. It affects everyone around us. So I don't think I have a whole lot more. I had some candy I was going to bring for you guys, and I completely forgot to put it in the car this morning. So I'm really sorry about that. I was really wanting to do that. But let's have a prayer, and then you guys can go back to your seats. Yes, Lord, we just bow before you again, Father, and we thank you for this time we were able to spend together, Lord. We just pray that you would help these little seeds to be planted in these children's hearts, Father, and that they could grow and just continue to serve and honor you, Father, with all of their hearts and their lives, Lord. Just help them to grow up to be servants and godly Christian men and women for you, Father. We just commit them into your hands, Lord, and we ask that us older people could be godly examples to them, Lord. Just help us as well, Father. Just help us to maintain a joyful attitude, Lord, no matter what we may face, and no matter what pops up, Father, that we could just face it with joy and not to bring in negativity. And Father, we just commit this all into your hands, and we thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, thank you for listening, children. You can go back to your seats.